you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will. That's good, isn't it? You shall ask what you will. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. Successful prayer is based upon the word of God, based upon the promises of God. You know, James says prayer of faith will save the sick. But faith comes from the word of God. So if I don't have the word of God stored in my heart, I don't have the faith. And if I don't have the faith, I can't pray the prayer of faith. Can I pray the prayer of faith without faith? So faith comes from the word. We could say it's the prayer of the word of faith because the word brings faith. In fact, in Romans 10, the Bible is called the word of faith because when I read this word, it brings faith to me. And when I have faith, then I can pray. Now, can I have faith without knowing what God is saying, without knowing the promises of God, without being secure in His word? No. It's amazing. Many times we call ourselves praying in faith. But if someone was to ask us, what scripture do you base that on? Sometimes we don't know. I've even heard people say, well, it's in there somewhere. Well, what kind of faith can you have? You know, I have a recipe book, and I know they're in there somewhere. You can call for a particular recipe, and I know I've baked it before, and I know it's in that book somewhere. But I have hundreds of recipes in that book. And we can't put anything together without the recipe. You may can. My mother-in-law can, but I can't. I have to have the recipe. Well, the fact that I have a book full of recipes and it's in there somewhere is not going to bring success to us. I've got to find the recipe and use the recipe. Well, we have a book of promises. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. So before I pray, I'm taking time to put the word in my heart. What does God say about healing? What does He say about my children? What does He say about my finances? We have to know what God says. We have to follow what God says. Successful prayer is based upon the promises of God. And from those promises come faith. It's as if every word of God spoken is a container. And when that word is spoken, that container opens up. And the faith from that word begins to invade your being. And with the faith from the word, from the promise, I can pray the prayer of faith. Now, the prayer of faith works for me. It's very difficult to pray the prayer of faith for someone else because I don't know where you stand. I don't know what you're believing. I don't know if that's real faith or those are just the words of your mouth. Have you ever done that, said what somebody expected you to say, but in your heart you knew you weren't as sure, as certain as your words had declared? We have to have real faith, genuine faith. Faith from the word, faith from the promises. This is the confidence we have in Him. We pray in confidence. Now I have confidence in Wayne Cumbie. I know some things about him. I'm sure of some things. I'm certain of some things. And I would state those things in great confidence without any doubt at all. No doubt at all because I know him. Well, see, as I get in the word of God, I begin to know the Father. I begin to know Jesus. I begin to know the Holy Spirit. I begin to know them. And as I know them, my confidence, and faith is confidence, my confidence increases. And then when I pray, I'm going to somebody that I know. I'm talking to somebody that I know, maybe talking about my health, about my money, about a job, about a relationship. But I'm talking to somebody that I know, and you cannot get to know them except through the word and by the Spirit. Now, by the Spirit, I think, is the lazy way. I don't know about you, but if I were making a choice, am I going to read, am I going to pray, I'd probably say, oh, let's just pray. Reading and studying is a little harder for me. But if I don't read and I don't study, I won't know how to pray. I won't be confident in the person, in the promise of that person, in the promises of God Himself. Said, if you abide in me. Now, every Christian abides in Him. Every Christian is found in God. Says, you must be born again, born from above. And when you were born again, you stepped in Him. You are in Him. But in order for Him to function fully in me, I have to digest the word. I have to know the prayer promises. I have to know that what I'm requesting, the thing that I'm doing, is ordered by the Scripture, by the Spirit. I know you, like me, I have prayed a prayer And after I got through, I thought, oh, I wonder if that was right. You ever done that?
Yeah.
Or, oh, I wonder if that's what I really wanted. You ever done that? I remember in the early days I was learning about prayer. And someone said, a fine minister of the gospel said, you should be believing God for something every single day. Well, I thought, Ma, I'm not believing for something every single day. So I just thought and thought. I thought, well, today I'll believe for. Well, by tomorrow I couldn't even remember what it was. It wasn't a product of my heart. It wasn't based on any promise. It was based on a procedure, based on the words of man, but not on the word of God. And it doesn't matter what the rest of the world's doing. What are you doing? Well, if you abide in me, you do abide in him, you are born again. And my word abide in you. Well, that's meditating day and night, putting the word in there, putting the promises in there. It's kind of like a large computer file. I have a computer in my spirit that knows the promises of God that's adding to those promises all the time. Now, the interesting thing about a computer is it can get overloaded where you have to. Ours gets overloaded all the time because we run so many radio programs through it. And then we have to run from the computer onto the CD burner and unload the computer, give it more space for more data. But you know the interesting thing about the spirit of the living God in your human spirit, see, the spirit of the living God dwells in your spirit, there's not going to be any shortage of room, not going to be any lack of capacity. I mean, you got room. You got room for the promises. You got room for the word. Well, it says meditate day and night. Well, you can't make that clear everywhere. But in Florida, you can make it clear. How much air conditioning do you want? Just in the daytime? Just at the nighttime? Day and night, you want air conditioning, day and night. That means we're living in the air conditioner. You living in yours, I'm living in mine. I keep mine low. I had it fixed the other day, and the man rebuked me for keeping it so low. He said, ma'am, this air conditioner won't work efficiently at that temperature. Well, I'm nice. I didn't say anything, but I thought, he'll have to do the best it can because that's where I'm putting it. But you can't pray and say, let's do the best we can here. You know, they used to talk about your hairdo and said they gave it a lick and a promise. You ever heard that expression? I mean, you didn't take much time with it. You just kind of plastered it and ran a brush through it and said, well, oh, well. But prayer is not a lick and a promise. It's not a formula. It's not a procedure. It's communication with heaven. It's taking back to heaven what heaven has sent to you. Heaven has sent words and promises to you, and I meditate in those words and promises night and day. Now I'm going to do some other things, but Jesus is Lord. I'm living for God night and day. And so as I expand what I know about God, then I can pray successfully. If you abide in me and my word abides in you. I know years ago I did a class. I can't remember what we taught, but then we prayed, and in line with the lesson of that day, I asked each one if they had a prayer request. Most everybody had a prayer request. I said, what do you base that on? What does God say about that request? What does the word say? And I was startled, so very few people knew. Now I know you would do better than that. We were all new. All of us at that juncture were new. But in spite of the fact that we had heard that prayer was word-based, we had not taken that seriously. We had said, oh yeah, yeah, that's right, that would be right. And yet nobody looked up the word. Nobody meditated the word. See, it's the prayer of faith that changes lives, that changes your life. You're going to pray the prayer of faith. You can pray the prayer of faith for yourself more successfully than anything else. You cannot pray the prayer of faith successfully for me, but for yourself and your need, you can pray the prayer of faith, what things soever you desire, when you pray that you believe that you receive. Prayer of faith is for you, and the prayer of faith will heal you. It'll bring finances. It'll bring you knowledge. If any lack wisdom, let him ask of God, gives to all men liberally and upbraids not. Prayer of faith. See, will bring me the wisdom, the knowledge I need, nor to act upon, nor to have success. It is God's will that I have success. It says, if I meditate day and night, I can prosper and have success. That word success means wisdom in all the affairs of life. It means no matter what I'm doing, because I have communication with heaven, because I know heaven's mind, because I have the word of God and the spirit of God, I have the mind, the wisdom to proceed successfully. You know, most people, if they knew what to do, they'd have done it. Isn't that right? And the reason we're a little hesitant, and doubt is hesitation, is because we don't know exactly what to do. We don't have confidence. Faith is confidence, and confidence comes from the Word of God. It comes from knowing God. If I'm hesitant, then I'm not in full faith. I might have to say, oh, Becky, of little faith. You know, Jesus said that to the disciples more than once. They started, they began, but they didn't finish successfully. Now, if there's little faith, there's great faith. In fact, Jesus said to the centurion, I've not seen such great faith. Faith comes in quantities. That means the more I meditate day and night, the more faith I have, the more successful I can be, the more confident I am. The interesting thing about confidence, it becomes of second nature to you until you don't even think about it anymore. It's not a process. You become confident in certain recipe. And if I'm watching you and ask you, how are you doing that, you'd have to think about it. My mother-in-law would have to think about it. She cooks, she feels it. I was there the day she felt the cake and said, needs another egg. I said, how do you know that? I said, how do we know that? I couldn't tell by looking that need another egg. Well, she said, it does. It just does. And she was confident. And when she baked it, it was delicious. I assume it wouldn't have been quite as good without the extra egg. We did put extra egg in it. Then another scoop of something else. She has great confidence because over and over and over again, she's baked that same recipe. Now, over and over and over again, I've come to there's only one God and Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Only one. And over again, I've come to Him. I know He answers prayer. I know what the promise is. I know He's going to greet my words with a resounding yes, because all the promises of God are what?
Yes. Amen.
That's good news, isn't it?
Yes.
So what's the promise? Well, I don't know. What word do you depend upon? I don't know. Then how can you go with confidence? How can you ask in faith? How can you expect success? How can you expect an answer? I was so impressed with a minister who took 2 or 3 days to read the healing scriptures before he prayed for his daughter on healing. I don't know anybody else that's ever done that. The minute we need healing, we pray. Or we run to somebody and get them to pray. But he wanted to be sure his faith had risen to its peak level. He went over the promise. By His stripes, I'm healed. By His stripes, I'm healed. See, he's going to pray. The prayer of faith is going to save the sick. The prayer of faith is going to meet your need. The prayer of faith is going to change things for you. Not the prayer of hope so, not the prayer of maybe so, but the prayer of what? Prayer of what? Prayer of what? And where does faith come from? Hearing the Word of God. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will. Only as the Word is in me can I ask what I will. Sometimes I'm asking for what I want. Without that major deposit of the Word, without planting the seed of the Word in my heart. Well, if we know better, we should do better, don't you think so? It takes a little time. You know what the key is, every day do a little meditating. Then when you have a need, you already have that Word in store. Don't you think that's the key? Not come to a situation where you have to find the Word, look up the Word, meditate in the Word, where you have to shore up your confidence in that arena. You know life has certain needs, so get you a financial scripture, meditate in that a while, and get you a healing scripture, meditate in that a while. Or get you a love scripture, somebody's going to cross you up. Meditate in that a while. I always say I'm patient and kind, I am patient and kind, I am patient and kind, I am patient and kind. That's 1 Corinthians 13. Meditate in that. Get that scripture ready because somebody's going to cross you up and make you mad. If you notice that. Then when I have a need, I have the scripture already on deposit. I already have faith and confidence in that scripture. I know by Jesus' stripes I was healed, and I know He sent His Word and healed me, and I know no weapon formed against me will prosper, and I don't have to make a last ditch effort. You see, I'm ready. I'm ready. You know, they get a team ready. Long before the game is played, they practice to get ready. And meditation is just getting ready. Get ready, because stuff happens. You notice that? I was so glad years and years and years ago, the Lord divinely led me to pray for our family. I was so glad now that we see things beginning to happen, that the foundation was laid years before, that we don't have to make a last minute adjustment, that we can depend upon all that's been said, all that's been prayed. We can go with confidence and remind the Lord, this is what we believe. Now, I can't do but so much for them, but what I can do for them, I have done. Do you think we ought to wait the last minute?
No.
Have you ever waited to the last minute? Having company coming? I mean, you got to move it, don't you? You got to really hurry because company's coming, certain things you want to accomplish, and then you have to decide what can be left undone. What will they not notice? What was only important to you and they probably wouldn't have noticed anyway, and what must be done, you got to hurry, you got to hoof it. You notice when they come, you're out of breath, you go, One day a lady called. I didn't realize she was so close. She must have been at the end of the driveway. I don't know. She said, I need to talk to you. Can I come over? I said, sure. So I thought, well, I probably should sweep off the front porch. I mean, I barely began. Here she came. I'm standing there with the broom. I thought, looked kind of dumb, I thought. She may not have thought anything bad. I thought, you know, gee, I would rather have been prepared. I'd have rather swept the porch yesterday. Because at my house, everything blows on the porch. It doesn't matter when you sweep it. Tomorrow, it's going to have more leaves. And that's the way trouble is. That's why it's have the word ready. Have the word ready. Let it abide in you. Now, when something abides in you, what does that mean, abide?
Lives there.
Also is the word to remain or to continue. Now, if I answer the doorbell, I set this wonderful chocolate sour cream cake in front of you. Do you have that recipe? Good. And I baked one and I set it in front of you and the doorbell rang. And I said, just continue in the cake, I'll be back in a minute. Do you know what that means? Anybody doubt what that means? Anybody need an explanation?
No.
What does it mean?
Right on.
Help yourself, keep eating. Continue in the cake. Everybody know how to continue in the cake? That's the same word, continue in the word. It's not a different word. It's not a unique concept. Continue in the word every day. Why? Because stuff happens. Stuff happens. Get ready. Get ready. Have word level. Word level ready. Be ready. Not just in your head. Not just, well, I know I can find that. We do that in the office a lot. It's in there somewhere. It's in the file system. I don't know why the file system is such a mystery. I know it's in there. I mean, I'm sure it's in there. And I'll ask Suzanne, do you know where that is? Where do we file that? Well, we usually have to look for it. They teased Wayne at his office that when he retired, they were going to hire him part-time to come back and find things. Because he's been there for 38 years, and a lot of things he has just filed in his memory. He remembers what side of the road they buried the pipe on, under what tree. It's an amazing mine for water lines. I mean, if it involves a water line, he knows. And he has great confidence. And they know that. Well, one of the secretary's husband was in the military and was sent to England, and so she went to England with him, rightly so. Well, she was the only other mind in the office that could find things. See, that was ready, that had things on file, that knew where things were. See, where is it, the healing scripture? Where is that scripture? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will. No words, you can't ask what you will. You don't know what to ask. You're not confident. You're not sure. You're not secure. You're hesitant. You know, I asked somebody, do you have any doubt? They said, absolutely not. I said, but are you hesitant? They said, yeah, a little bit. Well, I just have a clue for you. That's the same thing. Hesitation and doubt are the same thing. And the scripture uses the word waver. But you see, if I'm sober, and it's the word of God, it's the promises of God that keep me sober. You know, the scripture talks about being overcharged with the cares of this life. Worry, frustration, overcharges you. Now, if you have your credit card and you overcharge and you go to use that credit card, they will delicately say to you, usually in front of 25 people in line, "Ma'am, this card is overcharged." They won't let you use that card. And that's what happens to faith. If my heart has so much worry, so much frustration, so much care in it, you know, it's easy to worry. I don't know about you, but I worry before I know I'm worried. I'm usually really worried before it comes to me that I'm worried. I mean, I'm focused. I'm thinking about, why'd she say that? I wonder what she meant by that. Well, I wonder what I did. Well, I wonder if I gave her that impression. Well, I wonder if I should call her. Well, you reckon I should just leave it alone? Well, no. Well, then, if I did call her, does that ever happen to you? Next thing you know, you're frustrated. You're worried. I was amazed. I was looking up the word worry in Webster's Dictionary. You know, Webster's Dictionary is next to Strong's Concordance, is a teacher's greatest friend. And Webster's used this example, said the dog was worrying the rat. That's in the dictionary. Well, you know how the dog, except at our house it'd be the cat. They'll catch that little mouse and they'll play with it a while. Then they'll let it go and watch it run and leap on it with one paw. Then they'll put it in the teeth and they'll shake it a while. And then they'll let it go and it begins to, by this time, crawl off, you know. And my cat will watch all the way to the end of the porch. That little rat thinks, I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. And here goes the cat. Boom. The cat worrying the rat. That's what the dictionary said. Now, I got it. I got a picture instantly. That's what we do. We have some dilemma, some symptom in our body, some lack, some relationship going astray, and we shake it a while, like that cat does that rat. We shake it this way, and we shake it that way, and then we bite on it a while. Then we turn loose of it. But before it gets very far out of sight, we pounce on it again. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
And about the time you've beat that situation, I mean, you've discussed it with everybody that would listen. I mean, you have beat it into the ground. You have examined it from the left, the right, from the top and from the bottom. I mean, we all have clear vision of it. We have defined the problem, just given it great definition. That problem is beat to a pulp like that poor little mouse and begins to crawl off. And we watch it crawl. And before it gets to the end of the porch, we beat it up some more. Now it says that overcharges the heart, keeps faith from functioning. Now look at Philippians 4. We got to have the word in, the worry out. Word in, worry out. Word in, worry out. Webster says worry is an incessant attack with the intention of driving one to desperation. That's what happens, isn't it? You become desperate. Now the King James says what? Be careful for nothing. We're talking about the foundation of successful prayer. Successful prayer is based on the Word of the living God. We've got to have the promise. We've got to know what God has said. We've got to meditate. We've got to be confident. We've got to be without doubt. We've got to take time to examine the Scripture, and it's better to do that ahead of time and get ready in every arena of life. You know what happens in life. Get ready. Then it says, when a situation arises, the first thing we do before we pray is don't worry. Now, one translation, the King James says, be careful for nothing. Means don't be full of care, full of worry. We don't use the word careful as they do here. I like the translation that says entertain no worry. Now you know how to entertain when you entertain company? You make certain preparations. Even if they're coming just for cake and coffee, you probably run the vacuum. I would. I'd run the vacuum. I'd shut the dogs in the kennel. I'd make certain, because I'm going to entertain, I'd make certain preparations to entertain. And it says, don't entertain worry. Well, are you making preparations to worry? I wonder what they meant by that. We had a horrendous thing happen while I was gone. And Suzanne, let us know on the computer, read us part of the letter, and I thought, what in the world? And I began to worry about it. What in the world does that letter mean? I'm licensed under this law, that law, and the other law. What in the world? I didn't sleep that night. I'd sleep a while, and I'd wake up thinking, what in the world? What in the world? I'm entertaining, see? I'm entertaining the worry I'm thinking about. What a letter. So I told Suzanne, call them, tell them I'm out of the country, ask for a delay. So they granted a delay. Then Suzanne says, you know this paper they sent you that they want you to fill out by the 15th is 16 pages long. I said, read me a question. I went, very complicated. Well, you know, even the vocabulary of the question is like, what does that mean? Now I'm entertaining. I'm just entertaining this. I'm thinking about it. I'm pondering what I'm going to do. What am I going to do? My goodness. What prompted this? What caused this? How come this is happening now? I couldn't hardly sleep. I'd wake up in the middle of the night and I'd quote my scripture. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and sound mind. I'd finally fall back to sleep. I'd wake up again. I mean, you know, when you entertain, you decide you're going to use the coasters. You're going to use placemats. You're going to sit in the living room casually. You're going to sit in the dining room, or you want to sit at the counter. We have a food counter in the kitchen. You're going to make it formal. You're going to make it informal. You're going to take out the china. You're going to use paper plates. You think about it. You ponder it. You make certain preparations. And I'm thinking, I'm pondering, I'm entertaining. But I'm entertaining a worry. I'm entertaining the devil's deception. I'm entertaining. See, you can entertain the doctor's report. You can entertain financial lack. You can entertain trauma with your children. Why did he do that? Why did he do that? What in the world caused him to do that? And then you grab him by the collar and you say, what were you thinking? And you know, anything you entertain expands. My, says, we're going to get ready to pray here. We're going to lay a foundation for prayer. We've got a promise. We've got God who said he would keep his promise. He said, all my promises are yea and amen. That's what God had to say. We've got a precious promise, said an exceeding great and precious promise. And God is going to take the promise that I take from the word and bring back to him. And he's going to say yes. And he's going with faith and patience. I'm going to wait patiently. And my faith is going to work and orchestrate this situation, bring it to pass. But if I'm worried, if I'm entertaining worry, that's what this verse says, nothing happens. In spite of the fact that I had the foundation of the word, in spite of the fact that I knew what God said, this is a prayer procedure. Entertain, no worry, don't worry about anything. I got to get rid of the worry first. And it says, worry what? Overcharges. It what?
Overcharges.
And it says, overcharges your heart. When you overcharge it on your credit card, it doesn't function. When your heart's overcharged, it's not working. In other words, before I've even prayed, before I've even gone to this magnificent Father that said, ask, you shall receive, seek, you shall find, knock, and doors shall be opened unto you. Everyone that asks, receives. That's my favorite part. Everyone that asks, receives. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, it shall be done. Whatever you ask the Father in Jesus' name, he'll give it you. Before I claim that promise, I've already put a roadblock in the pathway so that my prayer cannot come to pass, so that God cannot answer. He will not go around or over or through worry to answer your prayer. He will not. He will not. Worry has to be eliminated. You know, worry's a sin. I just think of it this way. Doubt's a sin as well. You said, thou shalt not commit adultery. I'm not going to do that. You said, thou shalt not steal. I'm not going to steal. You said, thou shalt not bear false witness or lie. I'm not going to lie. You said, I should not worry. I'm not going to worry. Now, most people don't see worry in the same category as adultery or theft. But it is. I said it is. I said it is. So, well, I haven't committed adultery. I'm glad. And I don't lie, I'm glad. But do you worry? It's really easy to look at a doctor's report, to hear the bad news, and to worry. And even people that don't worry about themselves, they worry about their family, they worry about the medical expenses. They worry about the time involved. Some diseases are of long continuance before they kill you, you know. They worry about the nursing facility that may be necessary. Most people are really hesitant to become a part of a nursing facility or to ask for a nursing facility to come to them. And they begin to what? Entertain. Begin to entertain. Now, people who aren't worried look hard-hearted. I'll tell you how you recognize them. They're very hard-hearted. They're calloused-looking. That your first thought would be, well, she doesn't care. Once you refuse to worry, you look like you're not plugged into life. Isn't that right? Well, how are we going to refuse to entertain worry? Therein lies the question. And I don't know what you worry about. If I was going to worry, I'd worry about my children. Everybody has what's called an Achilles heel. That's based on some myth. Something that really gets to you quick. That's what that is. You know what that is? Really gets to you quick. So what are you going to do? You're going to be prepared ahead of time. You're going to what? Get ready. So you're going to know, God, you said if I train up a child in the way he should go, when he's old, when he's mature, he will not depart from that. You said that. So get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Don't wait till the last minute till they call you from jail and say your son's in jail. Get ready ahead of time. I read a precious story. I don't think anybody understood it but me, and you may not understand it, but I believe you will because you have great depth in the spirit. But this father's son had been in so much trouble. He was always in trouble. You could expect the worst. The worst always happened. So one day he realized he worried about it. He was frustrated. Where is he? What is he doing? Who's going to call me? Can I rescue him this time? How can we help him? What program would take him? We've already tried that. What's next, you know? And he realized he was worried. And he covenanted with the Lord. You see, worry is a sin. Say, worry is a sin.
Worry
is a sin. You know what I do when the devil says you're probably going to die? Say, so. Isn't that right? So he turned his son over to the Lord. Now the Amplified of this verse, well, the Amplified of 1 Peter, which we'll come to, says this is something you do once. Now that I make up my mind today, I'll never worry again. Did you hear that? You want me to say it again for you? Make up my mind today, I'll what?
Never worry again.
Make up my mind today, I'll what?
Never worry again.
So that's what this man did. And so no matter what they said about his son, he said, oh, well. And people thought he was looped out, you know. So one day they called him from the police station and said, we have your son in the morgue. We want you to come identify him. He said, well, I'm not coming. Said, it couldn't possibly be him. I turned him over to the Lord, and the Lord does not kill, steal, and destroy. And I'm not coming. My, you're talking about great faith. I mean, you're talking about great faith. That's not, oh, ye of little faith. Do you know it wasn't him? They got somebody to identify the boy. It wasn't his son. It was somebody else. He had been mistagged or something. But what I want you to see is this man. See, he looks very callous. Or he looks very casual, very unconcerned. I said, oh, well. But he's not going to entertain the worry. Number one, if he is dead, what good would it do to worry about it now? I don't want to say anything too profound here, but had it been his boy and the boy was already dead, worrying now, it's too late. Nothing can be done now. But if I have a foundation in the Word, you said, Father, You said. See, it's the word or worry. And a scared prayer won't work. You can write that down. I'm not the first one to say that, but I like it. Scared prayer won't work. I've got to eliminate worry. Well, how can I do that? With confidence in God. Trust in God. See, I'm getting ready to pray and ask for something really big, something. He said, Becky, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, you can ask what you want. You can ask what you want. Well, see, with God's word in me, I'm not going to ask for anything dumb. Right? That's the purpose of the word. I'm so full of the word that my prayer and my request is guided by the word that I'm full of. You know the man that wanted the pastor to pray that he could have his neighbor's wife. That really happened. He wasn't full of the word. He couldn't have had thou shalt not in his heart. He couldn't have. To make such a dumb request. But see, if I'm full of the word and I meditate in the word and I'm a word person. And the Spirit of God, see, the Spirit of God guides me so that I'm in the, it's a big book. I can't read it all. I may not can read what you're reading. May not can read as fast as you're reading. May not can digest and know as much as you know. But if I'm following the Spirit, I know what I'm supposed to know. I know what's necessary for me. I've laid the foundation in my life. See, the Spirit of God, God knows. He's the omnipotent Father, the all-seeing one. He knows what's coming. I've had over and over again, He lay out a word in my heart. You can't turn loose of it. It's like a magnetic pull. There's just a word that you've got, that you've captured. It's captured you. I don't know if the word grabs you or you grab the word. You know, you have kind of this hugging relationship with this verse of Scripture. Got to have this verse of Scripture. See, the Holy Ghost lays that in my heart. He's laying a foundation. You can't lay a foundation by yourself. But He's in there. See, the greater one's in there. And it says He's in there. He said, you can cast your care upon Him. You can cast the worry on Him because He cares about you watchfully. The Amplified says, interestingly, He cares about you watchfully. Now, what in the world does that mean that I care about you watchfully? Who cares if you care about me watchfully if all you're going to do is look at my life and say, I figured that happened. That's not watchful care. When you care about me watchfully, when you're watching over a child and you care about them watchfully, you're prepared to rescue, prepared to save, prepared to warn. You say, don't touch that. Don't go there. Stay here because you care watchfully. And it says, don't worry about anything. Now keep your finger there and let's read 1 Peter before we come back and finish this verse. It's amazing the little things of life that you can worry about. I mean, it just amazes me. Some things are so easy. The solution is so simple. Like the couple that their clock, they had this magnificent clock dinging on the hour. It worried them during the night. The clock dinging. See, automatically I have a solution for that. It comes to me, we can solve that. It's amazing. Now, when I got home to my paperwork and read this letter, I thought, what in the world? I called them on the phone. I said, would you explain that to me? They were stern. I don't know how many times I said, we are at Becky Cumbie Ministries Incorporated going to fulfill the full letter of the law. We are glad to fulfill the law. We will cooperate with you. We will be prompt if you will explain this to me. I said, we are a religious organization. We are exempt from a lot of laws. It looks to me like we should be exempt from this law. I never heard of this law. Well, I worried about that thing. See, 3 weeks overseas, I worried about that. And then I read the paper. Now I am worried. I'm thinking. But by noon, I said to the Lord, see, worry will prevent the answer from coming. As long as I'm worried about the paperwork, you cannot expect them to be cooperative. Your worry will cause the worst. You write that down. Worry will cause the worst to happen. And it was. I mean, it was just being, I mean, like worry blooms like a plant in good soil. It just blossoms and it grows. At noon, I said to the Lord, I'm going to believe that this turns out all right. And I'm going to believe that this turns out all right. At 1 o'clock, 1 hour later, 1 hour later. See, I gave up worry. I quit entertaining it. It was just like that. I quit it. I said, I'm going to believe that you work on our behalf, that this turns out for our good, that we are cooperative, that we are satisfied, they are satisfied. The minute I gave up worry, they called And the man said, you know, I'm reading your paperwork. You are actually exempt. Do you know I had talked to them two or three times before and told them I thought I was exempt? And they said, no, ma'am, you are not exempt. But I was. What kept them from coming to the right conclusion? Worry. The longer you worry, the longer you entertain, the more frustrated you get, the longer you consider the death, the dilemma, the destruction, the despair, the bigger it grows, the farther away the solution is. Your prayer cannot get past the worry. Worry is a roadblock that prevents prayer from reaching the ears of God. You may have the promise, you may have the word, but the worry will prevent it from coming to pass. Worry alone will prevent your prayer from being answered. And the minute I gave up the worry, and I did it with the words of my mouth, I just said from my heart, I believe that this is going to turn out all right. Within 1 hour, God had turned that complete situation around. I've already got the letter in the file that says, according to this law and this statute, and according to your charter with the government, you are exempt from this, this, and this. Already got the letter. Now, what would have happened? I'll tell you what would happen if I continue to be worried, continue to be frustrated by the forms, by the formula, by the language, by the vocabulary, by the fact that the attorney charges an awful lot to fill out these papers. A lot of papers you have to have an attorney before, because I'm not smart enough to grasp the vocabulary to determine what is it they're asking me. And I get frustrated about who's going to help me and how much is it going to cost me. And the minute I turned all of that loose, I mean within the hour, are you getting this? This is so important. I'd stand in this pew and jump up down if it'd help you to get this. If you worry about your health, you're going to die.
That's right.
My, my, my. 1 Peter 5, 7, casting all your care. How much of it?
Wow.
Care is worry. Frustration. The dictionary says stewing, fretting. You know about stewing, don't you? When you put stew or soup on the stove, you put the heat under it, you keep the heat under it, or maybe a pot roast, you keep the heat under it for several hours, it continues to simmer, continues to bubble. Well, you continue to simmer on something, stew on something, keep the heat of despair underneath it. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Now, I don't like the translations that just say, because he's concerned. I'm not too... Because the word in the English vocabulary is very shallow. Concern. You know, sometimes all concern means is I hope things work out for you. It means I'm aware of your situation. I hope it works out for you. And that'd be the last time you hear from me. My concern just means I heard about what was happening, and I'm really sorry that's happening. I hope you have answers. That's why I like some of the translations that give us a stronger vocabulary. You know, if you have a caretaker for your yard, you don't want them to be concerned. The azaleas have worms, concerned. Or that the grass has a dead spot because of the drought, concerned. It's not their concern you want. You want them to see the struggle, to see the dilemma, and spray the azaleas, and sprig and water the grass, shape the yard up so that it looks, as Joel says, museum quality. The other day, well, several months back, I was doing something. He says, Mom, it doesn't have to be museum quality. And before I got my mouth open to explain why it did, he said, I don't know why I said such a dumb thing. Of course it has to be. Go right ahead, Mother. It has to be museum quality. Because that's the way I function. I like things right. They have caretakers at cemeteries. Well, you don't want them to just take a daily walk through the cemetery and see if the grass is too high over here and dead limb fell off of this tree on this grave. You just don't want them to make observations. What good's an observation? See, it says if I cast it on him, that means if I roll it over on him, it's not like fishing where you throw your line out there and after a while you reel it back in. It's not like care is in a huge backpack, your worry, your care, your trouble. You put in a huge backpack, you come kneel at the altar and you pray. You lay your backpack down beside you and you kneel here and you pray and you claim the promises of God and you say, this is what you've said, God. That's what I believe. I have your word. I believe I've received. And when you get up, you put your backpack back on, head out the door. See, that won't work. That flat won't work. It's I'm leaving my backpack there. Now, sometimes like flypaper. Does anybody not know what flypaper is? You know, as I get older, I say things that people go, what'd she say? Flypaper is sticky. The fly flies into the paper and he gets stuck on the flypaper. Well, if you go to remove the flypaper and you handle it just wrong, you'd have it stuck on you. And when you go to remove it from, stick it off of this hand, you get it stuck on this hand. And it's like you're playing some game trying to get rid of the flypaper. And that's the way worry is sometimes. But if I just keep coming back to the Word and say, Father, I promised you. See, it says, the Amplified says, casting all your care upon Him once and for all. Once. How many times?
Once.
How many times?
Once.
How many times?
Once.
And any time I find myself entertaining worry, stewing over something, struggling over something, seeing how big it can get and how austere it can, I say, no, Father, I promised you. Forgive me. I promised you I wouldn't worry. And says, if you cast it on Him, He's the caretaker. If I cast it on Him, see, you expect the caretaker to mow around the stones in the cemetery. You expect Him to set the flowers up if they've fallen over. You expect Him to remove the dead tree branches and to sweep the leaves out of the driveways. You expect the caretaker to be taken care. And what God has said is, I am the caretaker. It's not that He's concerned. He says, I can take care of it if you'll give it to me. And it's either I'm carrying it. If you're worried about it, you're carrying it. It's your problem. Well, you're in a trouble then because you can't solve it. That's why you're worried, because you can't solve it. Isn't that right? I figured that out all by myself, you know. The reason I'm worried here is because I don't have a solution. He said, but if you'll cast it on me, when you cast something, you're like throwing a rock in a pond. You don't ever see that rock again. You know, and rocks don't surface. If you really cast it in there, it didn't surface. What we do is we go swimming. I've got to find my rock here. I had this good rock here. Well, then I go back to God and say, forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive me. I was worried. I was fretting. I was stewing. I was concerned. I was annoyed. I was frustrated. You know how you can tell worry? Begins to affect your health. Doesn't it? If I'm really, 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 really worried, I eat less. Can't eat. Does that happen to you? If I'm really, really worried, I don't sleep as well. See, worry begins to manifest in my physical life. Why worry? When you can pray, trust Jesus. He'll be your stay. Don't be a doubting Thomas. Rest upon the promise. Why worry, 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 when you could pray? Now that's what Philippians 4 says. It says, don't worry about anything. Don't entertain any worry. But it says, but. There's a but there. But in everything. How many things?
Everything.
How many things?
Everything.
By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your request known to God. See, that but gives us a choice. I'm either going to worry or I'm going to pray. If I worry, there's no use you even bothering to pray. It says, but. Now, if I say, there's cake here, have all the cake you want, but don't touch these cookies. I'm taking them to my mother. That but always established that we're making a choice. And God is saying, don't worry, but pray. He's telling you what not to do, what won't work, what will interfere with success. But what will bring success? Pray. And it says, pray with thanksgiving. Why? Because God answers prayer. He always answers prayer. God answers prayer. God answers prayer. God answers prayer. He's so good to me. Say,
I won't worry.
I will not worry.
Once and for all,
I cast this worry
on the Lord.
Now, if you find it comes back to you, say, Father, forgive me. And said, you said entertain no worry, and that's what I'm going to do. It may take you a while. It may take you a day or two or three. But if you stick with it, you'll get rid of that worry. And then once you get rid of the worry, guess what's going to happen to your prayer life? You're going to get your answer. I mean, 1 hour, I'm telling you, it was the most phenomenal thing. It was a miracle of God. 1 hour between the time I said, all right, I'm just going to believe this comes out all right, they changed their mind. But all of that time I was worried, I knew they had to be wrong. I was certain we had complied with the law. I tried to explain my position. I sent them, I faxed them a copy of our agreement with the United States government, and nothing I did made any difference at all. And I kept thinking, what in the world? How are we going to convince these people? Or do we just comply? You know, once you comply with the law, you got to do that every year. It's not that we can't do this once. It's these things are continual. The next year they want, and next year, and next year. But within 1 hour of casting that word and saying, I believe this will come out all right, they said, you know, you're exempt. I'm telling you, you better get rid of that worry. I don't care if it's your money, your health, your children, or your dog. I have a tip about dogs. I got this from a gentleman. He told me if you have any worries, you should give them to your dog. He said, this is what he said. He said, people that worry never go anywhere in life. And his dog was not going anywhere anyway. So he had given all the worries to the dog. That's what he told me. That's true. I don't make that up. He told me. So if nothing else works for you, get your dog or your cat and say, okay, I'm not going to worry about this anymore. I'm turning this over to you.